Here we are in our study of loving as Jesus Christ loved us. It is very important in the globe, and we're about ready to move into the 16 impacts of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13. What does love of Christ look like? But right now we're closing out our study, and we are dealing with that love is known. Love is known in a person. And again, this is so important that you do not isolate love from a person. So point A, or did it this way, love is known in a person. And then B, love is knowable in God. And the reason for this is, you recall very quickly, we spent time here, because God is love. Love is known in God because God is love, and love is from God. Then C, we noted, love is knowable in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So love is known in the person of Jesus Christ. Now what we are looking at is putting together the concept of God and love, and Jesus Christ, pulling these things together. And I want to take up some things that are generally are not dealt with in regard to Jesus Christ and love at this time. But what we're looking at is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, which took us, and we left it last week, it's a very important passage in John 14, 21, where, if you love me, I will disclose myself to you. How does one come to know Jesus Christ? How you answer that question, people, will tell you a great deal about your concept of God and man and everything. If you say, man comes to know Jesus Christ by learning more Bible doctrine, well, that presents a problem, because there are a multitude of people who study Scripture and don't even come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we're in a little trouble there. So how is this thing going to come about? Well, what we have seen is a little thing that I'm going to go through again, and we're going to expand it later, but not expand it so much, but come back and deal with it. But the equation starts off very simply. In this whole understanding of this process, it all starts with us. It all starts with you. Starts with us. Our faith directed toward the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit pours into you spiritual love. Spiritual love is directed toward Jesus Christ. This is what we saw in John 14. Now, what happens when love is directed toward Jesus Christ? What happens when we love and are loved? What happens is Jesus Christ then discloses himself. Jesus Christ then discloses himself to you. If you love me, I will disclose myself to you. So, as you're walking in the power of the Spirit, Jesus Christ starts disclosing himself, and we spend some fun time in this whole concept of disclosing. How one of the problems in many marriages is the absence of communication, the absence of disclosure of self. We've got this wall built around us, and we're not going to disclose certain things about us, because if we disclose them, somebody will not like us. This person may not like us. Well, Jesus Christ says, I will disclose myself to those who love me. I will not disclose myself to those who do not, and he even explains that in John 14, as you will recall. Now, what happens when Jesus Christ starts disclosing himself to you? What begins to happen here is that you now begin to know Jesus Christ. And as you begin to know him, watch what starts to happen. As you begin to know him, now this came from 1 John chapter 2. The knowing, the disclosure, John, same writer, John 14, knowing, John, 1 John 2, if you know him, what starts to happen? You start being transformed into his image. You're being transformed into his image. Now, where does this take you? As you're being transformed into his image, what image is that? He is the image of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So what starts to happen is you go back to being in the image of God as we were in the garden. You know, right back to what was lost, being in this wonderful harmony and relationship with God. It's phenomenal. And what's our only part in this whole deal? Walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Allowing the Spirit to start pouring in His love. This love directed toward Christ. Christ, and when you love Christ, He discloses Himself. As He discloses Himself, you get to know Him. The more you know Him, you are transformed into His image. His image is the image of God. You will become in the image of God. And that becomes where we want to be. Now, after doing that, we went back to Ephesians chapter 5. So let's begin now at Ephesians chapter 5 and take up where we left off in our discussion and in our talk in studying this aspect. Love is known in a person. People, it's very important, because if you get this idea that love is some abstract concept, like when we start studying 1 Corinthians 13, we're not going to take those things out just like they're abstract concepts. And we're going to understand that love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Let's all learn about kindness, and let's learn that, and then we'll understand love. Beep, wrong. It's known in a person. It's known in a person. So it becomes very important that you do not make love an abstract concept in which you're going to then impose on other people. No, love is known in a person. Okay. Now, let's pick up from there at that point. We have moved in 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love just as Christ. Now here is one, here's the one who set the standard of love, that we can see it. What is the whole deal? What did God say? Okay, those of you who want a demonstration of my love, and meaning the world, you want a demonstration of my love? God demonstrated His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So He says, here is what my love it looks like in demonstration. Now we come to a person, Jesus Christ, who we can look at in regard to this love. Don't follow what the world calls love. That love is self-serving and can be most destructive. Human love is like fire. It can consume and destroy. Consume and destroy. Satan loves only to consume. The adversary Satan, he loves to consume. This is very well taught in Isaiah 40-60. He loves to consume. He loves to destroy. He loves to control. Many people, when they talk about love, they're talking about controlling. I love you. Now you do everything I say. That's the way most people love. I love you, now you lay down and lay dead for me. I love you, now you do whatever I want. No, that's not the way He loves. Jesus Christ's love was sacrificial to Himself. I love you, what can I do for you? His love was sacrificial to self for the benefit of the other. But the way that Satan loves, and that love that is carried through in the kingdom of darkness throughout all Scripture, is a love that seeks to control, intimidate, and destroy. And that's the way that Satan loves. So we come to the question, in our own lives, what about your love? What about your love in regard to husband and wife, family? Just take the circle. Husband, wife, family, friends, work, social, and of course the local assembly. Other believers. Every area of your life. You walk up to buy groceries. Whatever it is, where you and I go, this is where the love of God can be shown. And wherever you are, at any point in the day, night, where you are, that is where His love can be shown. In your bedroom, in your office, at play, wherever we are. That's the only way the world's going to know it. Because He's gone. They're not able to look at a person named Jesus Christ on planet Earth. He's gone. He's departed. So how is the unbelieving world and believing world, how are they supposed to see how Christ loves? The way you love one another. This is why the new commandment is love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you're mine. Not by your doctrine, not by your creed, not by your knowledge, not by your emotional experience, not by your righteousness, by love. This is how they will know. How? That you belong to Him. So what do people learn about God's love from you? What do people learn about God's love by the way that you and I love? Or is our love like energy of the flesh? The love of man, self-serving, beneficial to self, or the sacrifice of others? The way most people love is this. I love you, therefore you should sacrifice for me. That's not spiritual love. Spiritual love, from the very beginning of God, I love you, therefore I sacrifice for you. I give you my Son, Jesus Christ, I love you, I give you my life. But what most people love is, I love you, therefore you should sacrifice for me because I love you. I love you. Like I said, they're supposed to roll over and just faint because you love them. No, that's not it. I love you, therefore my love is sacrificial to me for your benefit. So this is the love that we're to understand and know. It's in the love of this person. And walk in love just as Jesus Christ loved you. Now, last week we left off with that phrase, just as. People, that's the whole fundamental thing right there. That's what changes everything. When you put in that Greek adverb, just as, that changes everything. It isn't what you want it to be. It isn't the way that maybe the church has loved throughout church history. People, the church history has been a total disaster. Because the church primarily tried to live by law. That's how the church has primarily tried to live. But the way that you and I are to love, just as Jesus Christ loved you. That's the standard. So here's the Norman standard. It isn't what I want it to be or what the law says it'll be. It's just as I have loved you. And boy, that changes the whole thing. So if you've not experienced the love of Jesus Christ, then you're not going to know how His love is. If you've not kissed His love, as it were, at the cross, Old Testament phrase, then you're not going to know it. This is another reason why it is so important to understand clearly how you were saved. You don't understand clearly how you were saved. Coming off of our study Sunday morning, if you think you were saved by the covenant of Mount Sinai, then you think that God loves you because you perform. If you do this, then I will do for you. If you will do this, then I'll take you into the land. If you do this, I'll do this. Da 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 da. So that's your view of love. Love is very simple. I understand love. If you perform, God will love you. If you do not perform, God will not love you. It's that simple. Is that truth, though? That's truth according to the covenant of Mount Sinai. Now, if you understand that you are saved by the covenant of Mount Zion, then it's a totally different ideal of love. How does He love you? You trust Him. It's not on a performance system. God loves, not based on your performance at all. God loves. That's what God does. I don't earn it. I can't lose it. But what Christians like to do is make people think you've got to earn love. And when they do that, what do you know about them? They're functioning under the covenant of Mount Sinai. That's their God. That's their covenant. That's their relationship with God. They understand the covenant of Mount Zion. It is not earned. So we have to experience it in the sense of how we have seen it in our own lives. Comes down like, here's an adult. Adult has a child. Okay? And then the child grows up and becomes an adult. And then gets married and is going to have a child. One or the other, husband and wife, says to their spouse, We don't need to buy any books. We don't need to go to a lot of carny classes. We don't need to know what's going on in the world today and all the books in the bookstore. We don't need all that. If you and I can love our children as my parents loved me, we're going to be all right. Because I knew that love when I failed. I knew that love when I succeeded. I knew that love when I was sick. I knew that love in all the circumstances. And a great tragedy here is that so often very few people can do this, so they grow up and they say one thing, I don't want to love the way my parents loved me. I read it, in fact, in the Dallas Morning News today, there was a main article, big letters and pictures. I want to be the mother that I never had. Some lady said that. Okay, doesn't matter who it was. Big thing. I want to be the mother I never had. Okay. A lot of people, what am I saying? They never experienced love. So they don't know how. There is no just that. There is no just that. So what they've got to do is go to the books or go somewhere and learn how to love. But if you've experienced this love, and even when I was sick, well, when I got sick, boy, my parents got real mad. I made them have to stay home, or I made them change their plans, or I made them do this, and boy, I got guilt just because I got sick. You know? Or I got, there was a lot of pressure on grades, and there was a lot of this and a lot of that, and it was all performance. If that. Sometimes they didn't even care what I did in life. They didn't care whether I was home or not or anything else. So I don't know. But what I'm trying to point out to you here is that when you have experienced this love as a child, in all the circumstances that happen throughout our life of growing up, there are times when we succeed, there are times when we fail, there are times when we're aggravated, there are times when we're going through puberty and all of the things that are going on in our life. I know love. I know what it was like. I experienced it. And if you and I could just love our child that way. Okay. It's a covenant. I know how God loves. Just as. Remember now, just as. This is us, I want to love one another just as he loved me. How did he love me? Well, died on the cross, saved me from my sin, makes it grace to recover from sin. It's not a performance. He knows when I fail, when I'm sick, when I'm weary, when I'm this, when I'm that, on and on and on, all these things. His love doesn't stop. He sees me through. He's always there. Da, 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 da. And as I look, I can see the journey he's been taking me on and all of this. I've experienced this love in all circumstances. And when I fail, he didn't dump me. So therefore, how am I going to love? We'll put here one another. How am I going to love one another? Just as he loved me. I've had that love. I've experienced that love. So this becomes what I'm trying to show you here, people. Is that I know when I say these things, it sounds like I'm making a statement against doctrine, against the Bible, and all of this stuff. In fact, that was said today in another place the other day that I don't. No, people, we're not talking about running down Scripture. What I'm saying here is this: that you can study Scripture and not know this love. You can study and write books and never experience this love. This love is personal. We have an intimate, personal God who wants an intimate, personal relationship with us. And he goes through, all he goes through, if we can word it like that, for this personal love relationship, to let you know, I love you. And I care. You personally. So he's an intimate, personal God. But unfortunately, I'll just say the word many, whatever that is. Many Christians can't do this because they don't even really fully understand even how they were saved, because they think they were saved by Mount Sinai, by doing something, and boy, if I fail, God's going to get me, and God this, and God that, and it's all just a control, and all this type of thing. And that's the way they love one another. They love one another by the Mosaic Law. Just as, boy, he says, man, if I get out of line, God does this and that. And it's a whole fear thing. And what First John is all about is where there is love, there is no fear. We've often discussed how that when there is faith, there is no fear. What John says is when there is love, there is no fear. There's love, there's no fear. This is how we love me. So this just as, I hope this makes it clear to you how pertinent this just as is. Just as he loved you. Okay. So, this is experience in the sense of our walk and our relationship in the power of God the Holy Spirit. And most believers have no idea about how God loves, how Jesus Christ loves. And one of the reasons they don't is because they never walk in the power of the Spirit. That's what Christ said in John 14. One of the disciples said to him, well, wait a minute, how come you're going to do this with us and not with the world? Because the world doesn't even know how and love me. They don't have the Spirit. They don't know how. But many Christians don't either, because they don't know how to walk in the Spirit that's within them. They have it within them, but they don't know how to walk with Him. So I'm sorry, but a lot of believers just don't know how He loves. And that's a tragedy. And they'll talk about it, but it's a performance. It's Mount Sinai. It's not Mount Zion. And so they're going to love just as, and their just as is according to Mount Sinai, which is what? Performance. Or just as, according to Mount Zion, which is what? Just trust me. I love you. I do for you. You don't do for me. I'm so infinite. You can't do for me. So this is what he does. So verse 2, walk in love just as Christ. And there you have it. Just as Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, also loved you personally. Each of you individually. Your experience with God, watch this now, your experience with God, we all know, don't we, that often a mother or dad will treat their children the way they were treated, even if it's real bad. Even if it's real bad, they go, well, my dad beat me all the time, and beat me, and what becomes a reality? They end up beating their children. Over and over and over this happens. Why? They don't know what else to do when they reach that point, but hit the kid. Because that's the way things were handled with them. Only when they've had been treated so much. There is another way other than beating them. But they don't know it because they've never had it. Somebody else says, no, you don't know. Let me, you do this and this. This is the way you do it. But they don't know that. So how do they love? Just as they were loved by their parents. But it's so important. Just as you were loved. So, when you fail, when you succeed, when you're sick, when you're in turmoil, when you're happy, when you're succeeding, and all these different things that happen in everybody's life day in and day out, how does he love you? How does he love you? What happens to his love towards you in any circumstance in your life? And I like to talk about this as a child when I'm sick, because this can be a big pain on parents. You've really interrupted my plans. We had a big party tonight, and you got sick, and you and just, you know, bawl you out because you got sick. And you're lying there, sick and guilt. Shame. All this stuff. Because you got sick. That's why a lot of times parents don't, and children don't talk to their parents. They don't want them to know things. Because the way the parents are going to handle it. Okay. As opposed to, well, when I was sick, man, I interrupted the plans, and I know they were disgusted, but boy, they just handled it and got medicine, doctor, and got me a beautiful babysitter, and got, you know, took care of things in a wonderful way, and just, you know, I know it was an intrusion. I know it cost them money. I wrecked the car. How do you know love when you did that? When you wrecked the family car. Not your car, the family car. How do you know love? I know by the way they treated me when I did that. That's how I know. They didn't condone it. They didn't say, oh, great, you like the family car. No, but they didn't just tear into me either. I knew it was bad. I knew it was wrong. I knew all of this stuff, but I knew I was loved in the midst of it. See? So failure, successes, good things, bad things, all this kind of stuff. You know it just as. And now we deal with this whole thing with God. Just as He loved you, you want to love one another. Everybody. That's in Christ. Okay. Verse 2. And walk in love just as Christ also loved you. Okay. Now, let's take a look how he loved us. And gave himself up for us. You see that word and, the chi there, that and? That's very important. Like we saw it in 1 John last week, in verse 7. How the chi was very important. What this chi does this time is gives us how he loved us. It introduces how he loved us. You can say, indeed. And's okay if you understand that it's not a list. How he loved you and how he did. No, it's how he loved you, and the way that he loved you was he gave himself up for us. That explains how he loved you. So if we see how Jesus Christ loved us, then we will know this is how we are to love. Now, Paul expresses it in Galatians 2. Turn with me, because it's only a few pages back. Let's go back a couple pages to Galatians chapter 2. Let's see this. Now, in our passage it said, just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for us. Okay. Now, what does Paul say in Galatians 2:20? I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. All right, let's just stop. Why is that true? Because I'm dead. If I've been crucified, I'm dead. When you're crucified, you die. So I want you to follow what he's saying here. I have been crucified with Christ. Boom, I'm dead. And it is no longer I who live. Why not? Because I'm dead. But Christ, resurrected, lives in me. And the life which I now live, day in and day out, marriage, family, church, work, social life, go to the grocery store, which I now live in the flesh, meaning in my mortal body, I live by faith. Now, we have the Greek. Your English says, unless you have the Old King James, you have the Old King James that has it right, and that's a clue. It's a clue here. I live by faith of the Son of God, not in the Son of God. In most modern translations, change the preposition here, I live by the faith in the Son of God. Now, why did they do that? And it's fun to read them, the grammar, to read a theological commentary, and where they're going to try to explain to you why they translated the preposition, which should be translated of, in. You know why? Because it doesn't make sense to them. Jesus Christ having faith. Now, who did Jesus Christ have faith in as he walked? The humanity of Christ, who did he have faith in? The Holy Spirit. He walked by the Spirit that was given to him. We know that. The Spirit brought him into being at the birth. The Spirit protected him. And the Spirit guided, fulfilled all the miracles with the Holy Spirit. So what's the faith here? It's the faith that we're to have. So look what he says. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, because I'm dead, so now how am I going to live since I'm dead? But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, in the mortal body, I live by faith of the Son of God. And what is the faith of the Son of God? Faith in the Holy Spirit, third member of the Godhead, the second standard. How do we know that? Well, we don't have to spend time tonight, but all through Isaiah it says, what? I put my Spirit upon him. I have anointed him with my Spirit over and over. So he's walking by faith, just like you and I. What did he anointed you with the Holy Spirit? I know that's a horrible word because of what the charismatics have done with it, but it's a beautiful word. He has anointed or given to every one of us the Holy Spirit, just like he did his Son. And we walk by the same faith that Jesus Christ walked. Okay, so this is how we're going to love as he loved, is where we're going with this. God the Holy Spirit poured into Jesus Christ this love. So, two ways of looking at this study of spiritual love. We call it loving as Christ loved. How did Christ love? He loved by the power of the Spirit. I word it, spiritual love, loving one another as Christ loved you. What is spiritual love? Spiritual love is the love that Christ has for you. Spiritual love is the love poured in by God the Holy Spirit. Both of those are the same. If we were dealing in geometry, this is equal to this, this is equal to that. Spiritual love equals how Jesus Christ loves. Spiritual love equals how the love that the Holy Spirit pours into you, and then you can equal the love that Jesus Christ loves is by the power of the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the same way we love. People, this is what is amazing. We can love just like He loved. If you understand that and don't doubt that and believe that, now you're ready, really ready, not just in a reading abstract kind of way, nebulous way. You're ready to understand 1 John 3:16, which we've dealt with so many times. And what does 1 John 3:16 say? We know love by this, that He laid down His life. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. Now, in the flesh and in human life, I'm not laying down my life for some believers. I don't want to. And if we're honest, we can say that. That believer has sinned against me or against my mother or against this or against that, and I'm not going to lay down my life. I don't even want to. But when we're walking in the power of the Spirit and we have the same love that He has, guess what? We're now capable of laying down our life that someone else can be reconciled to God. We're now able to do that in the power of the Spirit. So we can now love just like He loved. You read 1 Corinthians 13 when we turn to it in a couple of weeks. There's no way I can, my love can be long-suffering, kind, not jealous, not boasting, not arrogant, never acting unbecoming, bearing all things, on and on and on. No way. Not only is it not going to be, let's be honest, there are times I don't want it to be. You don't deserve kindness. You have treated me wrong. You don't deserve it. In fact, I'm angry when somebody does treat you in kindness, because I know what a rat you are. But what happens when I'm in the power of the Spirit? I too will love, even though you're a rat. I too will lay down my life. My love will be long-suffering now. My love will be kind. My love will do all these things. My love will bear all things. Why? Because it's not my love. It's the love that He poured into me, loving as He loved. Continue our passage in Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer... Now, why is that? Because the law crucifies it. Now, this is why the law no longer, in Galatians, no longer has any strength over you whatsoever. Because you've got... The law said death. Okay. Where did I die? I died on the cross. So, it's like if somebody commits a murder... State of Texas, capital punishment, boom, dies in capital punishment, and rises from the grave tomorrow, the next day. Nobody has any claim on his life anymore. That's over. It's over. He's dead. The law said die. He died. He rose from the dead. And the people of the family get real mad, but it's over. The law has no bounds on him now. The law said death to every one of us. That was taken care of in the cross. Okay. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives, Christ lives in me. How does He do that? By the presence of the Spirit. And the life which I now live in this mortal body, I live by faith of the Son of God. And what is the faith of the Son of God? In the Holy Spirit. Who loved me? Now, see where we are and why we turned here. Look at the next phrase. In Ephesians it said, we are to love just as He loved you and gave Himself. Now look what it says. Who loved me, delivered Himself up for me. In my place, for my benefit. Prepositional phrase can be either way. In my place, for my benefit. That's what He did for me. How did Jesus Christ love you? Well, I want to tell you how Jesus Christ loved me. Even when I was an unbeliever and a scoundrel and His enemy, He died for me. That's how He loved me. How are you going to love somebody that hurt you? How are you going to deal with somebody? Same way He dealt with me. He laid down His life for me. Most people in their love want to lay your life down, not their life. That's the way most people are. I'll lay your life down real quick. but I'm not going to lay my life down because you don't deserve it. You listen to most Christians today, they wouldn't even begin to think to lay down their life for the restoration of Bill Clinton. But if you understand Scripture, it's in a minute. If that will restore him, in a minute. No thoughts about it. But he doesn't deserve it. The guy's a rat. Da 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 da. Well, oh, you're wonderful. You're really cool and great. One of the greatest problems is that most Christians play a relativity game with God. I am better relatively than this other person. And people, we can all find somebody that we're better than. We can all find somebody that we're better than. But let's use as our standard God with that infinite holiness. Now how do you measure up? Well, not too good. Well, not good at all. We've got to understand we're all Hitler. We're all like Clinton. We're all the desperately evil and wicked people. Got to understand that. And only in Christ are we not. Only in Christ are we going to have this life. And even when we get out of that, we're out of who and what we are in Christ. For he loved me, and how did he love me? And delivered himself up in my place for my benefit. This is the way that Jesus Christ loved, so that we can know. But now what do we know now? What do we know? Do we have an abstract concept about love? No. Do we have a nebulous concept about love? No. What do we have about love? We know it in a person. We know it in the person of Jesus Christ. And we know it because this person, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us. That's how we know love. First John 3:16, which to me is such a crucial passage for us. We know love by this. Definition? No. Abstract concept? No. How do we know love? He laid down his life for us. It's known in a person. It's known in that person what that person did. Now, that I can imitate. We ought to lay down our life for one another. Show me some things about his love. Boom. Letter of the Spirit. Boom. I can do the same thing. Even if I don't want to. I can do it. And you can do it. The same love, people. The same love that put Jesus Christ on the cross can occur in your bedroom, in your home, in your office, in your life. I don't care how big the sermon you want to hear, how great the rhetoric given by a great preacher is on the love of the cross. I'm here to tell you it can happen in your own home, in your own workplace. And I say home first because that's where it's most difficult. It's where it should be the easiest, but it's the most difficult. Wherever we are, the same, what all the sermons and all the things you want to hear about the love of the cross that happen in your life every day. That should happen in our lives. That will happen if we're walking by the Spirit. You will have the same life. So this is the startling factor of what we're looking at in setting this. So we will come to know his love, and we know it in a person. We're not talking about love does this, love does that, love and the poetry and all this stuff. That's beautiful. But, boy, let's get it down. Boom. I know it. There's a person. There's God. There's Jesus Christ. And what we want people to do, people, is I know how God loves because there's you. Now I know how he loves. And that's the reality of the Christian life. That's when they're going to say, boom, I now know how he loves. Because this is the way this person loved. Nothing in all the Christian life is going to demand more of you than to love as Christ loved. Living by the law will not demand this much. Living by the law, all that living by the law will demand is that you execute and you separate and you shoot another Christian. It's that easy. It's much more difficult to love them into restoration. to love them into being reconciled with God. Nothing will demand more of you than to love as Christ loved. Proof? What did it cost God the Father? What did it cost the Father? His Son. What did it cost Jesus Christ? His life. So anytime you doubt the cost and the demand of love, look what it cost God. Look what it cost Jesus Christ. Love will make these demands on your life. And what happens with a lot of Christians is they don't want this kind of love intruding on their life. It's much easier just to come up with stimulants that get you off the hook. You can call it impersonal love. You can call it hard love. Is that what some people call it? Tough love. Tough love. You can give a lot of words and coins that let you get to live how you want to and think you're living the Christian life when you're not even close to the cross. You're not even close. But you walk away thinking you're real good because you've hired it all in these sibilants. Sibilant is where you say one thing because it really doesn't exist, but you use this name so you feel comfortable about it. Yeah, so you just come up with this, I'm loving the way I'm supposed to. This is tough love. This is impersonal love. This is whatever kind of words that people come up with. This is what, and therefore I get to live and let live. No, God did not live and let live. God didn't do that. If God did that, people, none of us would be saved. God said, I'm coming in full force and lay down my life for you. So this is what love looks like when it is known in a person. Okay, Ephesians 5:2. Go back there now. And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. The conjunction introduces the maximum illustration of how Jesus Christ loved you. Now, look what it says. An offering and a sacrifice. Two things. An offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Jesus Christ loved. Here's how he loved you. He saw what had to be done, and he said, I will do it. I will do it. His love, yes. We'll come to it. Yes. His love seeks your good. His love seeks your good. To the point of offering himself as a sacrifice. I seek your good. People, what most people call, or what a lot of people call impersonal love, let me tell you what that love is. Because it's very clear what it is in Scripture. What they call impersonal love is love required by law. Think about it. I used to teach impersonal love, so I know what I'm talking about. Every point that you studied with me or with anybody under impersonal love, if you just go to the Constitution of the United States of America, you'll find out that's required of you to every person on earth. It's law. It's judicial love. You have to do certain things with each other. You and I have to respect the rights of other American citizens, don't we? Yeah. You can't just walk up and punch somebody in the nose, and it isn't love because you don't. It's law. If you don't, you don't get thrown in the punches. Or get hit back, if not shot. It's not a love. It's law. You don't have to go out of your way. You show respect and it's, you drive around tonight. You come to a red light. I am going to show love. I'm going to stop at the light. That's not love, people. That's law. That's judicial love. That's law. Love by law. You're not going out of your way about anything. If you had your way and I had my way, we'd run the red light. But what stops us? The law. We don't want another ticket. That's not love. That kind of thoughtfulness of people, that's law. Respect people in certain lines. Respect people in life. Respect them in a grocery store and do this and do that. That's why we don't run around naked. We respect other people. It's not love. It's law. It's what the law requires. What is love? I'll lay down my life for you. What is spiritual love? I seek your interest, meaning I seek it. What did God do? You are headed for a lake of fire and eternal separation from me. I seek that that doesn't happen to you. I seek your restoration back with me. I'm going to pursue you with it so that you will be restored with me eternally. That's love. And what do I have to do? If I'm going to seek it, I have to give up my son. Okay, I'll give it up. That's love. So when you and I say we love one another as Christ loved, lay down your life for one another, this isn't just a judicial respect of another person. This goes far beyond that. This is love. And what spiritual love is. Spiritual love doesn't just say, I look out. Spiritual love says, boom, let me stop. That's why in the first John 3:16 passage, what does it follow right afterwards? You see a brother in need of food, clothing, shelter, any of those things, and you drive by and say, well, I love you, and you don't do it. No, that's not love. That's judicial, though. We can do that. We can just drive by, see homeless people, and drive on by. But what does spiritual love do with one another in the body of Christ? No, boy, wait a minute. You need help? You need clothing? You need help here? I'll do that. Because that's what love does. That's what love does. I'll go out of my way because that's what love does. We have to understand what love is, what love isn't. So don't confuse spiritual love with the love that is required by law and call it love. Said it's a red light. Boy, I hope you know how much I love you stopping at this red light for you. That's not love, people. That's just respect of law. That's respect of law. Go over there and say, can I help you in some way in your life? Can I do this, that? They get Samaritan and they need help along the way and all of this. You know, God, by, well, you better be glad I'm not the one to put you in that condition. And I'm sorry you're there. No, that's law. What is love? Stop, go over, bend over, give medicine, take care of them. Go even further than that. Take them to the innkeeper, turn them over to the innkeeper, and give the innkeeper money. Were the people that walked by the Good Samaritan judicially bound to do that? No. To go over and help him? No. That's what love does. That's what love does. Put yourself out. See, in personal love, you don't have to put yourself out. Spiritual love may cost you. This is why when we someday we'll cover the crisis of love. Not right away. I want to get on back with John when we finish crisis of faith. We've got one more little episode to look at in Christ's life. But someday we'll look at crisis of love. And we'll take some pictures of what it looks like. I've already given you some hints of what it looks like. Job passed the crisis of faith. Boom. He gave up Job 1:1, and he realized, I trust you. Whatever you do, you're God. Then God takes him through what I call a snapshot of the crisis of love. What he did then with Job, he says, okay, Job. Boom, this is done, you're there. Boom, you prayed through the crisis of faith. You no longer put your faith in being a blameless man, upright, running from evil. You just trust me without all that other nonsense. Now, just a snapshot of what the crisis of love is. Job, you know those three friends of yours who crushed your soul and hurt you? I'm taking them out. Judicially, fine, everything's cool, everything's right. God told, I think God told told Job on purpose. That's what I'm going to do. Job, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do? Job said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't do that to him. Don't do that. Bless him. That's a crisis of life. See, Job, and if you go by the law, and you go by knowledge of fear, good and evil, Job could have said, that's fine, God. You're right, God. And that's what they deserve because of the way they treated me and they didn't help me. So you're right in taking them out. And he would have been right according to law. But what did the testing, the crisis of love say? No. Don't do that in law. What I want you to do is just forgive them because you're God. That's the time. I'll forgive them and bless them. Made it to the crisis of love. We get little snapshots of that. But someday we'll come study the crisis of love. When the Spirit feels like we're ready. It was a long time ago, several years ago, we talked about crisis of faith, but only now really getting into a study of it. So he'll take us that journey when he wants to. Well, let's close in a word of prayer, and we will resume at this point next Wednesday evening and study these things and see what's going on at that point. Let's close in a word of prayer. Where is our journey taking us tonight, Heavenly Father? It has taken us right back to you. It has taken us right back to your love and how you love and how your Son loves. And so, Heavenly Father, we end tonight in praise, exaltation of what a God you are and why you love your Son and why his love is a fragrance. Sweet fragrance to you. And why our love can do that. And so, Father, we praise you for the God that you are. And it is so difficult sometimes to love, but it's so easy to continue to walk in the Spirit and allow him to pour this love in us. Father, we praise you for the God you are in your Son's precious name. Amen. And next week we'll see offering and sacrifice. Okay.
Do you know one thing that faith is, I mean,